And as if on cue, he coughs. And now for the only show that could possibly cost Paul Bass his FCC license, broadcasting live from the corner of Elm and Orange here in New Haven, you're listening to the Cannoli and Knish Sports Radio Hour on 103.5 FM LP and online at newhavenindependent.org. I'm Adam Joseph with this week's update. It's FCF Championship Saturday as James Madison University take on the Youngstown State in Frisco, Texas. For the first time in 6 years, North Dakota State won't make it from Fargo to Frisco to play for the title. James Madison's 13-1 won its semifinal game 27-17 over the five-time defending champion Bison in the Fargo Dome. Bo Pelini's Youngstown State has a six-game winning streak since a 23-3 loss to North Dakota State on November 5th. They advanced with a 40-38 semifinal victory over Eastern Washington in sub-zero temperatures. It's going to be a tough matchup for JMU. You don't ever want to play a team that has a Springsteen song named after it. Fun fact, Jim Tressel is Youngstown State's president. His five-year show cause penalty and suspension ends, by the way, after this game. James Madison's running back, Khalid Abdullah, was the Duke's leading rusher with 1,700 yards rushing on the season and a FCS best 20 rushing touchdowns. He goes against the Youngstown State defense that has allowed 10 rushing touchdowns in 15 games. JMU's Brian Shore is playing for the title with an FCS leading 73.7% completion percentage. He has 27 touchdowns against 6 interceptions on the season. We'll be joined by college football expert Mike Sullivan to preview the game. In other college football news, number one Alabama take on Clemson Monday night for the title. Raymond James Stadium in Florida. No one really cares. But speaking of well-paid football players, let's turn to the NFL, where it's wild card weekend. It's the AFC's turn today as the Raiders head to Houston to take on the Texans in a battle of backup quarterbacks or removed starting quarterbacks or whatever you want to call them. Dolphins swim north to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Tomorrow, the Lions are going to be in Seattle to take on the Seahawks, and the Giants head to the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field for a date with the Packers. We'll be joined by New York Post Associate Sports Editor Dave Bezlow to break down the wild...
Bezlow,
whatever.
Jesus.
We'll be here to break down the wild card matchups. A number of NBA games last night. We'll get back to basketball sometime in May. Tottenham take on Aston Villa tomorrow in FA Cup action. And Vinny, we're joined today by guest host, the man who puts the cough in Rudikoff. As if on cue, Joel Rudikoff.
I'm back. It's a little under the weather today, but like Willis Reed, I'm limping onto the court. Your captain is back.
You're more sort of like the monkey from Outbreak. You're like patient zero. You're going to infect us all.
Look, I couldn't make it to the last show. You guys decided to go on anyway. It's like
highest rated show ever.
Oh boy.
Back when the Police were big, if Sting couldn't make the show, would Andy Summers and that other guy have decided to do the concert anyway? Probably not.
I think in this scenario, really, Vinny is Sting. I'm but Andy Summers. You're the other guy.
If you guys decided to go forward, it's up to you. No, but it's a big day. Adam, I'm thrilled to be with you today. Your JMU Dukes going down to Plano, Texas to go up against the mighty Youngstown State Penguins in the championship of something called the FCS. The Youngstown State Penguins, listen, unseated.
The Colonial Athletic Conference is a power conference and probably could take out.
They're going
Rutgers
up against a team named the Penguins.
Any day of the week.
How does Youngstown State name the Penguins?
Youngstown
anyway?
State has Bo Pelini and Jim Tressel.
That's like the Utah Jazz.
I mean, we're putting them up against with Mike Houston. I mean,
did like Alaska State like relocate down to Ohio
to call them the Sunshines?
No, I'm just saying, like, why is Youngstown State called the Penguins? If I was going up against
the
mighty the Penguins,
the Miners, or
the Fading Steel Town?
Yeah,
right. The Rust Belts.
You're right. I mean, the Rust Belts.
How about the Trumps?
It is a Springsteen song.
I mean, they are a Springsteen song.
This is going to be the biggest battle. I'm so excited that we have Mike Sullivan, the JMU sports expert, calling in later. It's going to be a highlight.
Can we just ask this one question? What kind of line you want to put on this game?
Is there a line?
Can't find a line.
I can't find a line. It's division. It's FCS football.
New Haven line on the big JMU Youngstown State?
Vinny, you have a better shot at finding a
Morrow
line.
Morrow is making a book.
This game.
We're gonna go 5.5.
I'm going JMU by 5.5. Huh? JMU has won 11 in a row, led by...
We don't care.
What's his name? Khalid Muhammad. Led by quarterback... Oh, let me just say, led by quarterback Brian Shore.
Yep.
Definitely. Is he a linesman, perhaps?
Doubt it.
Brian Shore could be a linesman.
Could be a linesman.
They've won 11 in a row.
Shore Funeral Home here in New Haven.
The mighty JMU Dukes.
He's from Virginia. The diaspora didn't really travel.
Marching into Plano, Texas for the big.
Don't.
But let's get back. Let's get back to FCS football in a little bit, because we have our special guest on the hotline, Dave Blezo, associate sports editor of the New York Post. Thanks for coming back.
Hey, good job on the pronunciation there.
Hey, listen, it takes me like three or four times.
Dave Blowez here to talk about something.
I wanted to call you Breslow. I mean,
Dave, you got to get a better agent, get you on a better sports show.
When Dave was on Mike and Mike, Mike Greenberg didn't mispronounce his name. He called in on the Meineke Car Care hotline. He talked to Mike Golick.
Mike and the Mad Dog would get it right.
Right.
Back in the day.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, boy.
Good afternoon,
and this
everybody.
Is why it's right, his last show again.
So just to start off, the point spread is 9.5 for James Madison.
Hey,
that is. There you go. 9.5.
Nine and a half.
Oh, I'm going with the Youngstown State Penguins with the points.
So, Dave, Adam is an alum here.
From Sidney Crosby. And,
exactly.
So Adam is a big alum here of JMU, so he's heading to the casino after this to watch his team play. You got a line on 9.5. Adam, I'll take your action, whatever you want.
All right.
I'll take the action. I think Youngstown State is unstoppable.
Again, you don't want to go up against somebody named after a Springsteen song, so.
I like it.
All right. So, let's talk about football and the
little wild
league
card
where they
weekend.
Play for pay. The National Football League. We have wild card weekend. Perhaps the most pathetic wild card weekend in the history of football. We have a number of third string quarterbacks going up against each other. Blez, let's start with the first game on the docket. We have the mighty Oakland Raiders going into Houston to face the Texans. What do you think?
All right. You know, I've been on the Raiders all year. You know, this David Carr run that he had, that he put them on, was fantastic. The coach, I think, is great, Del Rio. It's the perfect, he might not be great with any other team, but he's just the perfect guy for this team and that city. And right from the beginning of the season, you know, when he went for it on the two-point conversion and they beat the Saints, you know, he set a tone for that team. And they were able to carry it through the season. It's just a real shame that Carr went down, late in the season with the double broken leg. We were definitely looking at, I thought, a big Raiders Patriots, game coming up. Could have been the revenge for the Tuck Rule game in the snow, all those years ago. But it's not to be. So you have to deal with what the Raiders are. And you have to deal with what the Texans are, and the Texans are not much. Let's face it. Bill O'Brien does not want Osweiler to be the quarterback. He did everything he could to try to, make it not happen. So he's got sort of a guy that they spent $72 million on that they just don't think they can win with, in my opinion.
Hey, Tom Savage. So, Tom Savage, the Rutgers alum.
Tom Savage
led them into the playoffs.
Sort of. He started at Rutgers, and then he was at Arizona, and he finished at Pitt. So he had a cup of coffee.
He was at Rutgers for a couple of days.
He had a dormitory meal at Rutgers. Or he ate
he had the chicken patties with cheese.
A couple times. But I don't know if he's if that would count as an alum. But, the Texans had the fewest touchdowns in a season of any team that's made the playoffs since 1990. And, I'm just going to stick with the Raiders. They didn't, circle the wagons last week as I had hoped in Denver. I thought that, that their veterans would step up and, knowing that they could have a bye week and get a home game with a win at Denver, it didn't happen. But I think there's a lot of good players on the Raiders that are capable of helping out Connor Cook and getting them past the Texans. Texans are a serious playoff team.
Okay, so the Texans
Connor
are favored
Cook
by
era has been largely peaceful.
The Texans are favored by 3.5. So you're going for
I'm happy to take that.
For the road upset. Vin, what do you think?
I mean, I would assume the Raiders are just going to run the ball. I mean, so the over-under in the game is, what, 37?
Yeah, like the lowest projected playoff game in, like, the last decade. Only 36.5 projected points in this game.
I think the
13-10 game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is bad. I mean, this is after a bad NFL rating season, this is not what the NFL wanted as their first playoff game.
Right, this is their first game. This is
I know, with David Carr, I mean, with Carr would have been, you know, a must-watch game, but boy, the NFL is catching no breaks this year. Their first playoff game, this is not what they drew up on the board. I like Houston. I mean, I think Houston's going to win.
I'm saying Houston. Houston's good at home, much better at home than on the road. I just don't think that, what's his name? Connor Cook? Could Connor Cook start for the JMU Dukes? Could he beat out Brian Shore of the mighty JMU Dukes today at Youngstown? We just don't know. Okay, the second game of the day, the Detroit Lions.
Look, Joel, come on, man. Connor Cook played for the Michigan State Spartans.
Exactly.
And took them to the college football playoff. I know it didn't go well. When they got there, so they were playing the NFL caliber Alabama team. But I think he would start it at JMU. Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks like a carrot away.
Okay. No, I'm just saying Brian Shore. You know. Okay, so the second game. The Detroit Lions. The doomed Detroit Lions going into Seattle. 8:15 start time. The Seahawks are favored by 8. What say you?
It's another bad game. Not a great game. You know, the whole Saturday is sort of a womp womp. You know, the Lions might be done. You know, I mean, you know, maybe the Raiders are done too. You know, maybe I'm just picking the wrong team that's done. We'll see. But, you know, the Lions had a chance to, finish it off and win a division title last week against the Packers, and they couldn't do that. You know, I think, Stafford had a great season, but he hasn't been the same since he hurt his finger, and the weather is not going to be great for the finger. You know, I mean, it's going to be cold and possibly wet, I think, tonight. And, you know, the Seahawks have been wildly inconsistent. They've, scored, like 5 points against the Rams, and they beat the Patriots at New England, so, they could be fantastic or they could just be, mundane. And you don't know what you're going to get with the Seahawks. You know, they don't have Earl Thomas, the great safety. They don't have Lockett, their second best wide receiver, but, their upside is still higher than the Lions. And the Lions might be able to get in under the number, but I think if you think the Seahawks are going to win, which I do, you have to give the points. You can't really play that game of hoping for like a backdoor cover in a night like this.
The Seahawks are dangerous, right? I mean, if you're the Cowboys, if you're Atlanta, you want to see Detroit win this game. I mean, you're praying for Detroit to win this game. I mean, Seahawks went to back-to-back Super Bowls. It's largely the same team. Yeah, they're a dangerous team. I mean, I can't see them not just beating up Detroit today. I mean, Detroit had their golden opportunity, to get a home game, to win a division finally. I mean, going back to the Wayne Fonts era for the last time they won a division title.
Oof.
I mean, this is, you're right. It's once again an awful game. I mean, it's just a bad game again. I mean, the NFL has not lucked out on their first day. Adds to their ratings problems. Unless you're calling Russell Wilson a marquee player, I mean, and that's probably a stretch. Certainly on the East Coast, there's not one marquee player playing today. This is a league built on stars. I mean, J.J. Watt's not playing. Carr is not playing. I mean, Khalil Mack could be a star, and if you're a football fan, who he is. He's probably top three or four defensive players of the year, But there's no superstars playing today. And this is a league that survives on superstars. You know, the NFL is probably like just, you know, pulling its hair out today. I mean, and tomorrow's completely the opposite. So it's just a bad day for them. And, you know, I agree with you. I can't see how Seattle doesn't win this game.
Always go with the team that's been there before. All right, matchup like this. I mean, they know how to win a playoff game.
Right. Also, isn't Stafford's injured finger on his throwing hand?
Yeah.
The guy has like a broken finger on his throwing hand. I mean, like, he's like the only player like on the Lions that anyone's ever. Zach Zenner is going to be their bell cow back today. Okay. Like, hopefully, maybe Megatron will come out of like retirement for the game or something. Like, they have like no players that anyone has ever heard of. Although this is sort of like the revenge game for Golden Tate coming back to Seattle, the team he left 3 years ago. There's going to be a big battle between Golden Tate and Richard Sherman. That's what I'm looking at in this game. But you have a quarterback with a broken finger on his throwing hand. He shouldn't even be playing in the game. Like, he's like, we would have had every single starting quarterback except for Russell Wilson like injured today. It's just a bad situation. A lot of injuries in the NFL this year. All right, let's go to Sunday's games.
Yeah, please.
Because Sunday are the marquee matchups. Starting out,
what do you think about Pittsburgh, Dave?
Well, the first game, of course, Dolphins at Pittsburgh, and you got a big spread here. Yeah. You're talking a 10. This is the 10-point spread, right?
Yep.
And, you know, I just find that a little much, considering that when they played the season, the Dolphins won by 15 points.
Yeah.
And J.J. ran for over 200 yards.
They didn't do it in a fluky way. They
just beat them.
Outpowered and outmuscled the Steelers, and you know they ran for. They had Jay Ajayi his first of the three 200-yard games. He ran for 204 yards and I think two touchdowns in that game. And I watched most of that game, and you know, of course, Ben Roethlisberger got hurt with about 7 minutes to go in the second quarter. They took him out. And Landry Jones had to play the one remaining series that they had. Then Ben came back, played the second half, not quite as effectively as he usually does. And then he had surgery on Monday the next day, and missed a game. Roethlisberger wasn't at his best in that game, but I really was impressed by how the Dolphins stood up to the Steelers, you know, in the trenches. And when you're talking about a 10-point spread, and you could take 10 points, and you have a guy that ran for 200 yards against the same team, I just can't pass that up handicapper. So
are you also looking at the weather?
I know the weather's going to be bad, but the weather's going to be cold, and you might have some stuff falling down out of the sky. But, you know, when that happens, you like a team that can run the ball. So the Dolphins can run the ball. The Steelers, of course, they can run the ball too with Le'Veon Bell, and they have a great passing game, much better than the Dolphins do. But you know, if the weather is making it more of a running game, I like the Dolphins' chances just to at least keep it close.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you, I'm going for the Steelers in this game. So Ben Roethlisberger, over the last 3 years, has averaged about 330 yards and 2.95 touchdowns a game at home. So at home, he has been the best quarterback in the NFL over the last 3 years. He has Le'Veon Bell. This is like an interesting... So you have like Le'Veon Bell, who missed the first couple games of the season, off the drug suspension. You have Captain America Tom Brady, who missed the first four games of the season. After the worst crime in NFL history of Deflategate. And these guys are now fresh for the playoffs. That should be like a theme in the NFL. Get your players suspended for the first couple games. You know you're going to make the playoffs anyway. But now you have like Le'Veon Bell, who's just starting to hit his stride going into the end of the season. I think Pittsburgh is just going to be unstoppable in this game. So I'm actually looking for the Steelers to score a ton of points in this game at home. Roethlisberger's unstoppable at home. Why are these quarterbacks so much better at home than on the road? Dave, like, why in the NFL is it like such a massive benefit to be at home versus on the road, like more than any other sport?
Well, you have different kind of surfaces. You know, that's one thing. There's artificial, you know, there's field turf versus in natural grass. There's, you know, there's the travel element. There's the, you know, the weather. I mean, there's a difference between Miami and Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin, you know, pointed out this week that, you know, he was trying to play that down, saying that, you know, we probably have as many warm weather players, you know, in our team as they do. But there's a difference, you know, you live in it, you play in it.
Yeah. It's just so unbelievable. Like you have all these teams, like Drew Brees, like the Saints are unstoppable at home. Pittsburgh's unstoppable at home. Even Houston this year was unstoppable at home. And on the road, they're abysmal. Right, you have these teams that go from, like, it's like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde situation, home and away. Like, in no other sport is it just so stark.
Right, yeah, but you've had teams roll all the way through three road games and go to and win the Super Bowl.
And we're like getting to an example
Steelers,
of that.
Steelers, the Giants.
That's
right. Just in the last couple of years, a lot of road teams win in the playoffs. Home teams win. It's an advantage to be home in front of your own fans, but it's not a guarantee. You know, look at last year. You know, the Texans won their division. They're good at home again, and in the playoffs they lost 31-0 to the Chiefs.
I recall they were having quarterback issues. Around
that
time.
Well, they always have quarterback issues. They've moved on. 20 quarterbacks in the last 5 years. They're rivaling issues when they went 7-1 at home this year. Yeah,
they're right? Rivaling the Cleveland Browns at this point.
So they always have quarterback issues, the Texans.
What do you think about the Giants?
They've had a good record at home, and then they got beat by four touchdowns.
Yeah.
At home.
Speaking of road teams that are on a march to the Super Bowl, let's talk about our New York Giants in the fourth game of the weekend. The marquee matchup at the Frozen Tundra, a replay of the 2007 Frozen Tundra game, the mighty New York Giants playing all-time great level defense, going into Green Bay against my MVP Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. What do you say about the marquee matchup?
Well, you know, It dawned on me, you know, like when I picked the Giants to not only cover but to win this game, that the last time I came on with you, I was in the same spot picking the Giants against the Steelers, and, you know, that turned out bad for me. Good for you guys. You guys had the Steelers.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
In that game.
Oh, that's right. The last Cannoli Knish versus Blezo.
I had a tip to you guys for that challenge. One. And this is the same type of, you know, just rough spot for the Giants, but I just, you know, love this defense. You know, I think they can stand up to Rodgers. I think Rodgers will get, you know, his points. He'll Rodgers is going to be tough today, tomorrow. He's fantastic. No doubt about it. It's a lot of receivers. You know, the running back number 88, Montgomery, has given them something at least,
although Rodgers got mad at him last game, right? There was a thing where he like screwed up a screen pass, and Rodgers was screaming at him coming off the field. He then disappeared for like the next quarter. I mean, Ty Montgomery is their like lead halfback. The guy's a wide receiver.
He is, but he gets the job done, and he gets to the corner quickly. He's fast, and he knows how to run in traffic once people get around him. So, I mean, he's formidable. And the receivers, Jordy Nelson and Devontae Adams, you know, now you've got Geronimo with the fantastic play that they had at the end of the Lions game with the last touchdown that they had. So they have a lot. You know, the Giants defense, it's a good matchup. You know, the Giants are very tough against the run. You have Snacks Harrison clogging up the middle. You have Vernon, who is like really, really hard to block. Just a strong dude on the end. And you have a ball hawking secondary It's that's a great matchup, the Packers offense against the Giants defense. But the reason why I went with the Giants is, you know, if you know, thinking that they could get sort of at least a decent result out of their defense versus Rodgers. I think, you know, I don't think a ton of the Packers defense. First of all, they're really, really light at the defensive back position. And I know that the Giants, and this is what I wrote, that just because they haven't scored doesn't mean they can't, yeah. Right? I mean, you have a quarterback who's a two-time Super Bowl champion MVP in Eli, and you have a receiver who, in Beckham, who can take any play all the way, you know, whether it's from his own 20-yard line or the other team's, you know, 10-yard line. He can, he's a guy who can catch it and run it all the way. So I like the Giants' chances when they have the ball, and I think they know how to win, you know, on the road in the playoffs with this quarterback, and I'm taking a shot with them. I mean, this could, you know, could blow up. The Packers just could be nuclear. They could be just so hot, six in a row, you know, that they just, you know, find what works against the Giant defense and just do it and do it and do it and beat them and beat them badly. But I'm going with the Giants. I'll take the points. I thought that they could win the game as well. So, yeah, you make your choice and you watch the game.
Absolutely. Hey, what do you think of the job McAdoo has done?
Yeah, I wasn't a McAdoo fan.
I don't think anybody was, right? I mean, like,
when
you know,
he came in, but, you know, I've got to give him you know, some credit for, you know, for the results, because, you know, that the Giants were a team that blew every close game, and now they win every close game.
Yeah, I mean, he,
so
you know,
I think there's something that, you know, something that says something about the coaching, you know, and, you know, I think it's been a lot better. I think it's been a lot better than it was last year.
I completely agree with
but,
that.
You know, on the other hand, you know, he's an offensive guy, and the offense has not gotten it done, really.
Right.
And he's the head of the offense. So, and that takes away a little bit of what you think of McAdoo. But as the head coach, I think he's been fine.
Hard to argue that Jerry Reese isn't one of the executives of the year putting that team together this year. You know, spending the money. You know, he hit on every one of his free agents. You know, turn that defense around. What do you, any predictions on MVPs this year?
Yeah, I think you're right with Rodgers. I mean, he was 4-6, and he guaranteed they would run the table and win the division, and then they went and did it with him throwing 15 touchdowns and no interceptions.
Mm-hmm. In the last six games, right. He's unbelievable.
In the last six games, and, you know, like, Rodgers is a guy, you know, like, you look around and you think, well, he's got good receivers, you know, like Cobb and Adams and some of these other guys. But I think what you see with Rodgers is the same thing you saw with Favre back in the day, is that he makes these guys, he's making these receivers. You know, these guys were nothing when they came in, you know, and they're good receivers because he's throwing them the ball. And Favre, you know, did the same thing with a lot of, you know, Antonio Freemans and guys like that. You know, Favre had Sterling Sharp at the beginning, but other than that, all of his receivers are guys he made, right? And I think the same thing with Rodgers. So I think Rodgers gets, you know, 95% of the credit for whatever Green Bay's done, so you have to probably give him the MVP. The other guy who I thought deserved it was Carr, because before he got hurt, that's a guy that took a team that had, you know, not been in the playoffs or even had a winning season in 20 years.
Yep.
And they weren't just squeaking in. They were going to be the second or even first seed if he had not gotten hurt. And, you know, he's a guy, he broke his finger also in the game and stayed in the game and kept playing with it on his throwing hands. You know, so, you know, I think that guy's like a blood and guts, real silver and black, you know, legend type of player from their past.
Yeah,
I think it's got to go to Rodgers.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you guys think about the MVP?
Yeah.
Cannoli, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard not to give it to Elliot. I'm not going to lie.
Like Elliot?
It's hard not to give it to that guy.
Half Knish, what do you think?
I'd go with Rodgers. I mean, like, I think Elliot's has the advantage of having one of the best offensive lines in the last generation in front of him.
Plus, he has Prescott. I mean, like, you know, they sort of split the vote from my perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Prescott is that good of a quarterback that it takes that much pressure off the running game.
Right, I mean, I'm looking at this. It seems like right now, based on everything I read, the two favorites for MVP are Matt Ryan and Captain America Tom Brady. And I just don't see it, right? Like, the thing about Rodgers, it's different than those two. Like, first of all, Matt Ryan has this fantastic rushing attack, right? I mean, if you took Matt Ryan off the Falcons and replaced him with, like, Ryan Tannehill, like, they could still potentially be a playoff team.
You have I just want to grab Dave for one more second on something. How big of an upset is if it's not New England and Dallas in the Super Bowl? I mean, these other teams, you know, good, but how big of an upset is it if it's not those two number one seeds this year?
I don't think it's an upset if the Cowboys aren't in it. I think, you know, there are some teams in the NFC that can do it. I think Atlanta could go. You know, they just need a home game and then one road game to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, the Packers, if they dispose of the Giants, if they, you know, they could, they're on a roll right now, and they just have the offense that can, if, you know, if they say they teach the Giants a real lesson tomorrow night and the roll just continues, they could just be on like a freight train all the way to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
NFC. Lock to get there. I think the Patriots are closer to a lock to get there.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Steelers, you know, are a team that could beat them in New England. And the Chiefs have just been, you know, have had a magic formula this year. I mean, it's Alex Smith. I know they don't really have a running game, but Andy Reid, they just have like an incredible ball hawking, you know, pick six defense, and Tyreek Hill kills you on the kicks. And
he kills you all over the place.
Things like that.
I mean,
I wouldn't count the Chiefs out either.
I think the Chiefs season is going to end with Andy Reid looking confused on the sidelines again without a challenge or a timeout when he needs one. Sort of like every Chiefs season with Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Dave, thanks so much for coming on. And, you know, we'll see how you fare with your picks.
All right, guys.
All right, Dave, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, see ya.
That was Dave Blezo, Associate Sports Editor of the New York Post, with his picks on the wild card weekend.
I agree with him. I mean, I think he definitely knows what he's talking about.
That's the only game that I differed with him on was the Steelers.
Yeah.
It's a huge spread, but the Steelers are just
10 points, a lot of points.
They are playing fantastically. And they have like Le'Veon Bell. Look, shouldn't that be like the get your stars suspended for the first two or three games of the season? You know you're going to make the playoffs anyway. They'll be fresh for the playoffs.
I mean, in theory, yes. But
Belichick was playing the long game. The guy's a genius. He makes the Russian hackers look stupid, okay? That's Bill Belichick.
Hey, joining us on the hotline right now, brand new friend of the program, football championship conference expert, my buddy Mike Sullivan. Sully, what's happening, buddy?
Hi, everybody. How are you?
The JMU Dukes.
Xavier Dukes, that's right.
So we should be in Frisco right now, watching.
That's not San Francisco, by the way. Yeah. That's Frisco, Texas.
Just Frisco, yeah.
Just Frisco.
The Toyota Dome.
Which is like near Plano or in Plano or part of Plano, which is by Dallas. I don't know.
Either way, you're taking three planes to get there.
I actually found the direct flight. But,
did you really?
Yeah, I mean, LaGuardia to New York. I mean,
okay.
I mean, for Frisco. Anyway, Dallas, whatever.
Mike, did you think the JMU Dukes had any chance to upset the mighty Bison from North Dakota State 2 weeks ago in the semifinals?
Well, you know, we had a good feeling about it because we got a pretty good running back, this kid Abdullah.
Yes, you do.
I got to say, he's pretty good. I'm like, you know, from the days that Adam and I were watching JMU Dukes, we certainly didn't have a kid with that ability. We did have people, you know, like Mike Vick doing front flips into the end zone on our team, but we certainly didn't have anybody this talented on our team. So it's pretty cool.
All right, so let's ask a couple poignant questions here. Were you Adam's roommate at JMU?
We were. We lived in our dorm. Now, Adam, have you told him about the name of our freshman dorm?
I've not.
I think we're going to have to say it now, don't we?
All right.
It was Dingledean.
Dingledean?
Named after...
Absolutely. Yep.
Freddie Dingledean, who was a
probably gentleman farmer. My historical friend here, he has some reference to it, maybe.
How big of a dork was Adam in college? I think this is he has you know told us what a stud he was in college.
He was a soccer star.
We need to know the truth here.
You need to know the truth. He was quite the legend on the intramural field, of course, playing a little bit of goalie. You know, diving around, immediately hurting himself.
That hasn't changed.
That's when his hamstring began to bother him.
It's funny enough, him and I both played in over 30 league, and we both, I think, just immediately all the time. I walk out of the game with a hamstring injury.
He's in an over 40 league. He got the exemption to the over 40 league because he's so decrepit physically. They're like, okay, you have the body of a 50-year-old. We're going to let you into the over 40 league, even though you're like 25 years old.
Yeah, I'm a medical marvel. I'm like,
at least Mike Sullivan is in the over 30 league. He's not a pretender to be over 40.
It's like the reverse of the Olympics. They allow the younger guy up because he just is that old, right?
Exactly. Right. You have to prove that you're so decrepit physically that you qualify.
Right.
There's a Special Olympics joke that would get me in trouble here, so I'm not going to make it.
Wait, Mike, what position do you play? Striker?
I was more midfielder when I was young and could move. Now they just stick on the outside and make me run because I still have, you know, when I'm in there for, 10 minutes, I actually do have good legs before I do pull a hamstring. So they know that I can do that, but ball skill kind of deteriorated over the years, but that's all right. That's all right. We're still happy to get a run in the morning.
All right, so we got a line on the game here. We got an official line from the our friend at the New York Post.
Right, the New York Post line, 9.5.
There is a line, okay, cool.
So we have an official line here at 9.5. The Knish and I have agreed to accept whatever wager you guys want to put on this. We will.
Who are we taking? Youngstown? Right?
We'll take. Obviously, they're going to bet on their team.
How do you feel about the fact that your team is playing a team called the Penguins?
That's not from Alaska.
That's not from Alaska. Why would you name your sports program the Penguins?
Why are you guys the Scarlet Knights?
The Scarlet Knights are at least like the symbol is like, you know, you have this like.
I understand what the symbol is.
I'll tell you why. Because the school was founded in like 1760. Back then, like King Arthur had just retired. The Knights were a big deal back then.
Okay.
This is the Penguins from Youngstown State University, led by Coach Bo Pelini.
They have Jim Tressel, maybe one of the more ethically questionable individuals, is their university president. You go from college.
That's awesome.
Football coach. I mean, I think that tells you all you need to know about Youngstown State and you know what their priorities
are. And that's why we're putting money on them. You know why? Because there's some guys on that team.
Vladimir Putin's favorite team.
I am sure.
The Youngstown Penguins.
Have not gone to a class.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, at Youngstown? Oh, these guys.
I mean, they have Bo Pelini and Jim Tressel, who...
They got probably guys who are like 25, 30 years old on the line.
I mean, 5-6 years ago, it was Nebraska playing Ohio State, and they were coaching against each other. Like,
right. How things have changed, right?
But really, the North Dakota State Bison, winners of 5 consecutive FCS champions, were upset 2 weeks ago by the mighty Dukes of James Madison, marching into Plano, Texas, to claim their mantle of FCS champions. That's my prediction. Although I want the points.
Did you take that whole box of weird pills today?
I don't know. I'm sick. I'm on NyQuil.
You're sick.
I'm high on NyQuil.
You're wearing pants with a nice crease down.
I don't
the
have
middle.
The kids here today dragging me down.
Yeah,
you got white dad sneakers.
It's like
on.
You took that whole box of weird pills.
What channel is this game on? ESPN 30.
ESPN 2, I think. Right?
Two?
Yeah, ESPN 2. Yeah, that's actually on TV. It's not just on that radio, or whatever it is.
First of all, guys, we're looking at UConn's future here. Okay, the only reason JMU gets to be top dog in the FCS is because the University of Connecticut has chosen not to dominate the conference.
They've chosen to be they've chosen to be the biggest losers in Division I football.
I got to tell you, I think JMU at this point could beat well both Rutgers and UConn.
I went to Rutgers, so I'm not like
don't care about these guys, right?
This year, probably, to be honest. UConn didn't really show up this year, did they?
If UConn decides...
UConn hasn't showed up in years.
...to take a step down, although now they got Coach Randy Edsall.
Again.
Again.
like LeBron James coming back.
It was such big news that Adam didn't even put it in his update.
I mean, I had it in there for a little bit.
We were going to do it last week, but we couldn't get on the air.
Yeah, good point.
I think UConn made a huge mistake not promoting Geno to,
all right, good to head point. Coach. They should have just gave the jab to Geno.
I mean, like, you give Geno Auriemma an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and just let him coach, you know.
You have the greatest college coach of all time at your university. You don't Geno Auriemma.
And you don't give him the job as football
and
coach.
And you have an opening in a program, and you don't give it to Geno. They should have brought back Jim Calhoun, for God's sakes. I'd rather have Jim Calhoun than coach Randy Edsall, who disgraced himself and disgraced the university 6 years ago after really the Fiesta Bowl.
Did you like take a shot of NyQuil before you came in here?
Am I wrong about this?
You would be if anybody cared.
Yeah.
But no one cares, so you're right.
Okay. Sully, do you care? Can I call you Sully?
I can't lie. No, I just don't.
All right. So what casino are you guys going to watch this game?
Yeah, we're heading out of Fox. I'm actually in the car right now. So this is actually my first call into the radio too, which is really exciting.
First time, long time.
Yeah.
So we're heading down now to kind of avoid some of this snow. But we're heading to Foxwoods. Gonna open up the bar and probably be the only three people. My girlfriend's in the car with me right now to watch the JMU game. But you know what? Mm-hmm. We're gonna represent.
You guys better hope you can get the bar to put the game on.
What if they say, sorry, guys.
Fortunately, there's no other sports. Yeah.
We don't want to watch that today.
No, ESPN3 has, like, the poker championships.
Bullfighting.
And the other four people in the bar would rather watch that. You've been outvoted 4-2.
I think at 1 o'clock, the guys come out for the bowling. You know, the professional bowlers that usually come out. You know, the guys that weigh about 250 are awkward and
exactly
rolling the...
Earl Anthony.
So you're going to High Rollers.
That's where we're going.
you're going to High Rollers, and that's good. All right,
Vinny, as somebody that's an expert in casinos,
yeah,
you have any Foxwoods tips for us?
Yeah.
It got very awkward in here very quick.
Yeah.
Why don't you go to Jordan's for dinner? Go to Jordan's for dinner. Put it on the Paul Bass tab. Put it on the NHH tab.
Wrong casino, by the way.
Whatever.
All right, listen, have fun up there. And
good luck today, Sully.
Good luck with your game there, and enjoy. And you know, is Adam sleeping in your room tonight, like old school style, little dorm room style?
There's going to be a little snow.
Well, there'll be a little sock.
You might get snowed in.
There's going to be a sock on the door, you know?
Adam's going to be crawled up in the living room floor of the suite, the High Roller suite.
There'll be a whole lot of cuddling going on.
That's oh, yeah. Oh, it's been a while.
JMU, baby.
All right, Sully. I'll see you in a little bit. Thanks for calling in, bud.
All right, Sully. Next time you're coming into the studio.
Definitely. You know what? Next time I'll be in the studio. How about that?
We can have you come down in the spring for the Red Sox preview.
Yeah,
how about JMU baseball?
That sounds like a plan to me.
JMU baseball preview.
Yeah, we're going to get you. You want to be our Red Sox guy?
You know what?
He's good. He makes Cousin Mitch.
Listen, it's taken you 50 minutes to finally bring something to the program. There you go. It's taken you 50 minutes. Congratulations.
Ben just enjoyed the program. Benjamin listening at home.
All right, so I'll see you later.
All right, buddy. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Nice. Yeah. All right.
The mighty JMU Duke.
And then you revert back. I mean, it's like you have a high point, and then you go right back into what doesn't work.
Hard to maintain that level.
What about the national championship? What about the actual national championship? The
Clemson
Alabama
versus
Crimson Tide.
You know what?
Against the Clemson Tigers.
This is what the NFL would be like, by the way, without a salary cap, is basically what Division I college football is.
Yeah.
Is this bad for the college game?
No, because I'm going Clemson to win. All right.
Dabo.
I wonder what the line is in that game.
Sweeney, Swansea, whatever his name is.
Yeah, I'm going Clemson here. I think,
SEC winners of the 9 out of the last 11 national championships.
Bama just axed Lane Kiffin before the game. They've got Steve Sarkisian.
Six and a half.
The Alabama Crimson Tide, winners of 5 out of the last 8 national championships.
I think Clemson wins.
This should be 6 out of 9. They were taken out by Cam Newton back in 2010, taken out by Jameis Winston in 2013, and taken out by the JMU Dukes back in, was that last year?
Yeah, we'll say yeah.
I can't remember.
Anyway.
Clemson.
You're saying Clemson?
Yeah, I do. I think, listen, I think if you're, it, Alabama's got probably one of the best defenses going, and that's great, but, you know, this is not going to be a, you know, 13-10 game. And I think they're going to have to score some points, and if you got to score points, as much as Jalen Hurts is a hell of a quarterback, you know, I think Deshaun Watson's the best player on the field.
So. I'm rooting for Clemson.
I'm rooting for Clemson, too. I mean, listen, despite the fact that I passed on going to Clemson after they referred to me as a Yankee when I went to go look at the school my senior year.
Actually, you couldn't go wrong today. Today was going to be a national championship weekend for you either way.
Right.
Either JMU or Clemson.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're a winner.
You are
a winner.
You know what? I win so much, I get tired of winning.
Some sports news that didn't make a lot of headlines this week. Chris Berman.
Yep, out
sort
of ESPN.
Sort of, you know, fading out into the sunset at ESPN.
Yeah, they're sending him to the farm out in Bristol.
Yeah.
He can run around with all the other former anchors.
You know, Berman, I mean, we usually do like a sports media show sometime in February, and we should talk about it.
Mm.
But, I mean, Berman leaving ESPN is, you know, that's, he built that place.
Is that like Dan Rather leaving CBS?
You know, I don't know. I mean, you know. He built that place. No, because you had Cronkite before that, right? I mean, like, I think that's, you know, this is, you know, Berman for a good 15 years, you know, was much watched. You know, you had to see him. Like, I mean, you wanted to see, you know, his baseball highlights in the beginning of ESPN were must watch. Right. I mean, like, yeah. But before the shtick got so old,
yeah.
I mean, he never sort of matured
evolved,
in the job, right? But those first 15
years... Let that be a warning
years,
to us, by the way.
Right. Those first 15 years, Chris Berman, you know, really was, like, there wasn't the internet, there wasn't, you know, Twitter and everything else. I mean, you watched ESPN to find out what actually happened in games. It's actually when ESPN did sports, right? I mean, like, that's part of the problem that people have with ESPN, is they don't do sports anymore. They just do commentary and crap. But those first 15 years of Berman, you know, from 80 to, you know, early 90s.
I think even into the mid-90s. I mean, he was
still, right. I mean, like, you, if he was doing SportsCenter, you watched it.
Yeah.
Like, you wanted to see what he said. You wanted, you know, the prime time with him and Tom Jackson. That was what you watched, because there wasn't a red zone. Right, you got the one game, you know, you got three games on, you know, on a weekend. You know, you watched NFL primetime to see what happened everywhere else.
Yep.
I mean, him leaving is, I mean, it's, you know, you grew up with having ESPN your whole life. You know, I mean, Adam grew up having ESPN his whole life. Joel came into ESPN probably a little later. You know, how old were you when ESPN started?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I mean, it was like 19... You know, mid-80s,
started in
79, probably.
But even now, my, like, 8-year-old Eli loves ESPN.
Right.
He loves Chris Berman. It's a disgrace.
No, it's not.
Everything's
it's
a disgrace.
No, it's not.
It's over.
No, it's over.
It's over.
What I'm saying is Chris Berman deserves to go out on his own terms. Okay? Like, Chris Berman is not ESPN's problem. Right? Like, you don't show Chris Berman the door.
Right. I think you hit the
nail. Chris Berman shows you the door.
I think you hit the nail on the head. He's playing to a 7-year-old audience. Like, his shtick.
8-year-old. Eli just turned 8.
Sorry, Eli.
Mazel.
Happy birthday, Eli.
I mean, like, but that's like, people like, yeah, because he does he tries to do the funny, the back stuff. And,
yeah, right.
But, like, when it was natural, when he was actually doing it in a highlight, it was great. I mean, now.
Right, he has the nicknames.
He's playing to. And, you know,
very similar
8-year-old audience.
Very similar to Sterling, John Sterling, right? Like, John Sterling last 8-9 years.
Is there not a
is
place?
Not the same John Sterling that he was.
Is
right?
There not
he's got
a place
the nicknames, he's got
for
all
folks
the,
like that? I mean,
yeah.
Do we have to just.
Yeah, it's in our memories. That's the place.
Yeah. I mean, listen, ESPN has completely gone in a different direction.
Yeah.
I mean,
from their heyday of Olbermann and Patrick and.
Yeah, they stopped doing sports. They started being more social.
Sports and entertainment.
Sports and entertainment. They're the WWE, for crying out loud. I mean, they actually do updates on the WWE. It just, they're not the ESPN that we all grew up sort of must watch, you know, sports updates. You don't get those from there anymore. You don't put on ESPN for sports updates anymore. You put it on, you know, you go somewhere else. But listen, I think the Berman thing is a big deal. I think he started ESPN. I think he made it what it is. As much as annoying as he has been for the last 10 years, he was that great the first 15. I mean, those are good memories of him, like doing SportsCenter and doing primetime.
Right. I'd like to have him on at some point. Okay. Talk to him about the heyday.
You really did take the whole box of weird pills today.
No, I like Chris.
I'm glad.
No, I'm glad you and Chris get along.
Yeah, I'm sure he's happy.
As a fellow sports journalist, no, I feel
I would assume he's a linesman too, by the way.
This would be like Paul Bass saying to me, you know, we don't want you on the Cannoli Knish Sports Show anymore. Maybe like...
Ooh, by the way, meant to forward that email.
Did he see that letter?
Yeah, what? I was just saying, meant to forward you that email.
All right.
You're out, Joel.
Corporate restructuring here at Cannoli.
You're out, Joel. Adam's the new consigliere.
This was a good show.
Yeah.
It was entertaining.
I mean, listen, as a farewell show for you, I think it was, I think it worked out.
I'm back.
With your own show.
Yeah, with your own show.
Tune in next week from 10 to 11 with the Knish Hour.
Hey, look, Sting went solo. You know, Paul McCartney went solo. It happens. Sometimes you have this magical group that gets together, but it can't last forever. That's what I'm saying. But I'm willing to stay with you guys.
Mike and the Mad Dog broke up, pal.
I'm willing to stay with you guys. That's all I have to say.
At best, you're Ringo. Like, at best.
All right, mate.
Oh, God, and more voices.
Yeah, more voices.
That's right.
I mean, your solely voice yesterday was Scottish, which...
Adam, you boss.
All right.
All right, well...
Enjoy the game today.
God.
Enjoy the Dukes.
Have fun up
Go
there.
Go Dukes.
Go Dukes, baby.
You'll have a good time up there.
Next year, it's Huskies versus the Dukes in the FCS championship.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be very college. I'm going to try to do something stupid and probably drive back in lots of snow. You know, it's very college. Something to do.
There you go.
Really?
All right.
Making bad choices.
Okay, bad choices. Okay.
That's what I mean.
When Morrow was in college, he was like beating people up. You were driving in the snow.
No, I meant like making a bad decision. Like a bad decision is to drive in the snow. A lot of bad decisions made in college.
I mean, cuddling with your college roommate and his girlfriend tonight is probably a bad decision too, by the way.
You're going to be sleeping in the living room. We're going to have a blizzard. You're getting snowed in. Sully's looking at you and like, you're not staying here.
Yeah.
You're going to be out at the blackjack
Sock
table
on the
all
door.
Night
he,
with he Ed Maley. You and Ed Maley are going to be like doubling down at 4 in the morning.
He gave
Adam,
me a text.
I would have held on that one.
He shot me the text. You're like, oh, if it snows, you know, you're more than welcome to stay, but...
But really,
that is the courtesy. You know, yeah. The girlfriend is looking at him saying, really?
That's how desperate he is to watch the game with somebody. He's like, look, you can curl up at the foot of our bed on the floor if there's an inch of snow. Look.
All right, here's a word to the wise. The showers there are very comfortable. Take a couple of they have always an extra couple extra towels in the, towels and some blankets in the closet
at the casino.
Put those in the tub. You could sleep in the tub. It's been done before.
That's the emergency bed.
Looking forward to that.
All right,
it's been done before.
All right,
good show. Thanks for tuning in. Shalom from New Haven.
Go Dukes.
See you next week.